everyone. That is Glad Girls by Guided by Voices. We like to start off our shows with a little bit of music now and then. So, hey, it's Monday, November 1st. I can't believe it's November 1st already. November 1st, 2010, 7:30 on a Monday night. And once again, this is Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, episode 11. I'm Jeremy.
And this is Jeff.
Good evening, Jeff.
That's the best opening I think we've ever had.
You think so?
Yeah, I didn't mess it up yet.
All you said is hello. So
and Jeff, I can do that.
If you messed that part up, yeah, I would have been sad. So yeah, episode 11 here. Who would have thunk it, Jeff? Who would have thunk we would have gone this far? And we got a lot to talk about. First day of November, David Arquette news breaking. You know, we covered this David Arquette Courtney Cox news. We were like one of the first people on the scene breaking this news. And now there's all...
They're filming this movie Scream 4 together after they're separated.
Oh, I wonder if that's awkward.
I would think it has to be. On some level.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't mean to be just about their love life. I feel like that's how our show starts off every week. We have to get away from that. But it keeps coming up when we go on the air.
That we just start off with David Arquette and Courtney Cox
every
show. I think that's how people like it to start, personally.
I blame headline news. We have to turn this TV off.
So how was your Halloween, Jeff?
Best Halloween ever.
No, are you serious?
It really was.
That's what you said.
I say that every year.
Yeah.
But every year Halloween gets better for me, and it was just an incredible party. The party that you know about, my friend Tim rents out Harbor Inn.
Yes.
That you declined to go to this year, but I think it was a mistake. I'm going to call it.
I had a very big costume, and I wasn't able to move. I actually was slightly accosted, so we'll get into
slightly,
that later.
Well, yeah, let's
go, but go ahead.
But we're upstairs the Harbor, and he rents out every year, probably 150 people, 200 people. Part of it's a dance floor. I'm not a big dancer. If there's one thing about Jeff Longsworth, what would you say?
Not a dancer.
See, you just thought about on your own.
Yeah, right? No, I wasn't prompted at all. Not a dancer.
I'm not a dancer. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, any sort of reason to dance, I usually will shy away.
How many bar mitzvahs have you been
in? this year?
Yeah, or ever? This year.
In the low to 0 to 1 range. but yeah, I tend to shy away from dancing. But this is one of those nights where it was so much fun. It was so dark. There was so much fog on the dance floor. Everyone was drinking on the dance floor for like 3 hours straight.
Wow.
Went as Hall. I was Daryl Hall of Hall and Oates.
Nice.
The
Do
most.
You have an Oates? Or are you just Hall?
No, I was Hall and then Marty was Oates.
Nice.
I had the blonde kind of huge hair wig, jean jacket, 70s shirt. I was pretty happy with the ensemble. Marty could have been John Oates. I mean, Marty literally was like, it was almost scary. People were alarmed how close he looked like John Oates. But Hall and Oates, so we come into the party.
Is he dead?
No, they're both still very much alive.
Oh, okay. Well.
And they're touring still. They still go around. Do you know, supposedly they're the most successful duo, recording duo of all time?
Huh.
Yeah, back in the 80s, they
had
quite a hit.
What's their competition, though? How many duos are out there?
Yeah, like Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt. That's
Nelson?
The first duo
Remember
I think
Nelson?
Of.
Nelson?
Yeah, Nelson.
Long blonde hair that looked like the guys.
They had a good year, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't like a long term.
Uh-huh, okay.
So we got in there to the party, and right away we told the DJ, people did recognize us, which was great. So, hey, Hall & Oates.
Right.
Hall &
Oates
in the house. DJ said, Hall & Oates, let's get some Maneater going. Can you guys perform Maneater? So we got up, and we did a song, Lipstick Maneater.
Wow.
It was pretty fun. So, yeah, and then just was on the dance floor all night. It was just a great, great party, man. And then got even better. It was one of those nights where nothing would go wrong. Everything was falling into place. I remember last year, Treehouse stayed open later on the Saturday night of Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
They were open until like 2:30 last year. Went in there about 2 o'clock, got in. They were serving. Had a nice wind-down cocktail. Stayed till about 2:30. It was kind of like Chicago. It felt like it was just getting away with something.
Because it was later?
Yeah, they usually are very cut and dry at 2 o'clock, but they were
with the bars to stay open
till 2. They're open till 4. Some of them were open till 4. They've
really?
Got those late night bars. You have some bars have designation of late night.
Huh. See, I would be in trouble.
It's probably more bad than good happens with those situations. But Treehouse lived up to their billing. Stayed open a little later, so got to go to the Treehouse at 2 in the morning.
Is that how they bill themselves?
That's how. It was like people. They don't ever advertise it, but people you could tell knew and were walking in at 2:15 in the morning. obviously they knew this weekend was a little different there.
I'm glad we're outing them.
Now, yeah, now it's done.
Their liquor license. One of the people that listens to our show, one of the two, is going to it's going to call
the We're city. Huge with the liquor control people. They love our show.
That's right. They always want to tune in to see what liquor laws are being broken.
They know we're going to spill the beans.
Because we'll be the first ones to report it.
Yeah. So that was the weekend, though. But Great Harbor Inn Party, Hall & Oates. I think it was a success, and I'm just sad that it's over.
And that was that was your Saturday
that
night?
That was Saturday,
that was the big one.
That was the big one.
Did you do anything Friday?
Nothing Halloween related. I'm going on to Howl at the Moon, which was a whole other experience. But but no, nothing Halloween related.
So I went to Saturday night. I went to House of Blues. Because there was, again, I think it's the same type of situation. Like, someone rents it out, and you go. But it's kind of open to the public, but it's I don't think it's a House of Blues sponsored event. And you pay $7, and they have, like, they have like half a keg, you know, as soon as the keg's gone. Like, it's free in the beginning, and then as soon as it's empty, then you have to pay for your own. But, you know, whatever, it's fine. So, $7 cover, costumes mandatory. So, everyone was dressed up. Now, this year, normally I don't like to repeat costumes. That's something, I feel like each time that I go out, I want to have, like, a new costume. And, wait a minute, I have to call it something here. Are you drinking apple juice?
Cider.
Like regular cider?
Regular.
Oh, you offered me a beer, and I thought we were going to drink a beer together.
I love apple cider.
Oh, well, okay.
Sorry, I thought
so you... I'm the one drinking, again, the pumpkin.
The pumpkin.
The pumpkin ale that I love so much.
So you've got to be the zany guy tonight.
And
I'm the straight guy, yeah.
Cider. Well, wait till maybe 7:45.
When that pumpkin kicks in?
7:36 now. That's the kind of things you can do when you're live. Say, well, maybe, oh, now it's 7:37. Anyway, so I did decide to repeat this year. I actually went as my 2006 costume, which was a homemade Jägermeister bottle costume.
Wow.
And have you seen this, by the way?
I feel like I've seen pictures, but the couple years that we've gone out to Halloween parties, you were Ronald McDonald. I don't remember this one.
Yeah, if you, I'll try to put it on the, I'll try to put this year's picture on the Facebook, on our Facebook wall, which you can get to from radioshowonline.com and click on the Facebook link. But if you Google Jägermeister costume, after the images...
I like the first image. Was that what you were?
Yeah, that was me. I was the girl in the little short plaid miniskirt. No, the first thing, actually, the first video link is me. The first thing on Dig is me. The first Flickr thing is me. So I'm actually all over. But yeah, the costume is very cool. The problem is... it is not easy to move around in because the frame of it is all PVC, plastic PVC piping.
Oh, wow.
So, and then I overlaid it with some green fabric. So my gait, my ability to walk, my stride is severely limited because my shins would keep bumping into the plastic. So I would kind of like have to hobble around or make little quick hopping movements. So I went all the way from West 10th to East 4th through Public Square just in this costume.
What was the length of time on that trip?
I think it ended up taking me about 10 minutes. Okay. And I kept fearing for the wind because in 2006, my labels, I had these, that was the most expensive piece of the costume.
Yeah.
Because I had the actual Jägermeister labels like blown up to be like, you know, about, I don't know, 4 feet tall. And that was about $100 in itself, just to get these labels blown up and printed. And,
wow.
And a few years back, they actually blew off the costume. So this time, I reattached them with... that's me too. I reattached them with a hot glue gun.
Okay, so that did the job?
So that did the job a little bit better. It didn't look as good because I felt like the label wasn't as smoothly on, but at least it stuck. And it did and does dispense Jaeger out the side of it.
So that is true because I saw your sister over the weekend.
Yes.
She mentioned, did you know the costume was actually, and it's an interactive costume.
Yes.
You literally dispense Jägermeister.
Right. Which is great because then when I was at House of Blues, people would be like, hey man, I want to drink you. Or, oh, I wish I could take a shot of you. I'm like, well, you can. And I had little plastic shot glasses in the costume and I would whip out a shot glass and they'd be like, no way, man. So yeah.
Was a lot of guys going up to you doing that?
No, it was a, I got a lot. You know, if I was single.
That would have been a great little icebreaker.
Yeah. No, so it was, but it was awesome.
It's a great, it's very creative.
I got, It was what I like Halloween to be, which is just a lot of attention on me.
Yeah. See, I like that every day. But now, I tell you what was making me laugh today. I was on our website, as I am every day. I just like to check
on
in.
Our website?
On radioshowonline.com.
Radioshowonline.com.
I like to just make sure it's still up and running, first of all. And then I like to see.
We're not getting emails and no one's in the chat room. I wonder if it's working.
It's day to day. I just like to make sure the fundamentals are sound. Mm-hmm. So this is my favorite part. The very bottom of the page I'm showing you is that.
Yeah.
A picture of you with the microphone through a fence to some sort of monster at a Halloween party. It's just a great visual.
It was actually, there's a video of me at Bloodview Haunted House that I did for, it was a Cleveland.com thing that I did a few years back.
But the picture, just before you start the film, the picture's great.
Yeah, the picture is, that was something weird. It was like an undead transvestite nurse.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of.
You don't
of,
see enough of those.
It was scary. I was afraid of it.
I'd be scary any day of that. Yeah, that's.
Now, did you do any other? So you did the costume. Did you do any haunted houses this season?
No, and I really wanted to get to that Mansfield prison.
Yeah.
But the Vegas trip like sucked up a weekend. I just didn't get down there. So that's, I'm kind of, I wish they would do an extra week on haunted houses. It'd be great to have like early November. I'd love to go to some this week, but I didn't get to go any.
Last night, my my girlfriend, my sister, and my sister's boyfriend, we all went down to Vegetarian in Akron, which is Cindy Hines from The Pretenders. That's her restaurant. You know, I went back to Ohio. That's her restaurant down there. And it's an all-vegan restaurant.
Chrissy. Yeah.
I'm probably getting chastised for that on the chat room.
I want to do a preemptive one on that one.
Thank you for calling me on that one. So she went down there. And even if you're not vegan, though, it's still an awesome place to go. And it's right down in Akron by the haunted schoolhouse and laboratory.
Oh, yeah.
So we went to that haunted house, which was, it's awesome. I mean, they do a really good job with the scenes. And they're in old, like, actual old schoolhouses. So I think just the atmosphere of being in this old building, you know, really helps to make it more of a Halloween-y type.
And that was Halloween night. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, that was actually on
that's
Halloween
cool.
night.
That sounds like a good night.
Their last night there. So, yeah, that's what we had. That's what we were going. Oh, yeah, but me getting accosted. So then I'm leaving.
How could you forget? Oh, yeah, by the way.
Oh, yeah. My missing teeth. No, it wasn't that bad. So I'm leaving. We were at House of Blues after 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, again, the big thing with this costume is it's just big and bulky and very annoying to move any kind of distance in. So, but if I could hoist it up kind of like over my head and peer through like a slit where my arms stick out of the costume and kind of maneuver my way that way, that way I could, but it just, the costume wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
So I'm walking by Cadillac Ranch, you know, around 2, and nothing good happens outside Cadillac Ranch.
Was that like
Ranch.
The danger zone? You're like, if I get through Cadillac Ranch, I'll be okay?
If I can make it through there. I would rather go through Public Square at 2 o'clock in the morning than outside of Cadillac Ranch at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I hear some hillbillies that, I don't know, if we were to throw out a stereotypical suburb where these people might have been from.
I can think of one.
Eastlake, maybe.
Okay, we can go with Eastlake.
They could have been from Eastlake. I just hear them going, oh, suddenly I feel hands on like either side of my costume. My costume is fragile.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fabric kind of gave a little bit, and I just hear some guys going, beat them up. And I've had a couple of adult beverages myself. And I was just thinking, just keep walking. They're drunk. You're not feeling the best.
It's more of a keep waddling, though.
Right. If I had seen at that point maybe a giant Jägermeister costume, I might have given a hard time as well.
Yeah.
But the costume got a little bit messed up, which I think I'm going to retire the costume anyway. No one was hurt.
Did you talk your way out of it, or how did you get out of this one?
I just kind of tried to keep walking. And I think eventually they just got distracted probably by another costume.
Yeah, right.
So, or by, you know, bright, shiny object or who knows.
Well, last night, to kind of wrap up the whole weekend, I did go to that, I think I mentioned last week, I went to Guided by Voices.
Yes. That was the song, one of the songs.
Yes. And my brother-in-law is a huge, huge, huge fan. So I had to go check these guys out. I've heard about them, you know, for years. They haven't played in a while. They actually got reunited. The lead singer, Robert Pollard, has been on a solo thing for a while, but the original Guided by Voices band got back together. It was an unbelievable show. They played at Oberlin.
Yeah.
Now, Oberlin, we know, is one of the most, I guess it's very, the liberal arts program there is known throughout the country.
Yeah, and they're known as being a very liberal school.
I mean, you can't say the word liberal enough when you say Oberlin. A lot of actors, Liz Phair, Ed Helms are famous grads. I found out when I was there.
People themselves.
But because they're very liberal, well, this will lead to two things. One was we're in the line ready to go in. And again, one of the most liberal schools in the country.
Right.
And it was kind of quiet. They didn't open the door yet. And I said to my brother-in-law, kind of loud, I said, what room do you think the College Republican meeting is in tonight? And I got some good laughs. Some good chuckles at the open the books.
Oh, Jeff.
Zing.
Did you hand out shows with RadioShowOnline.com?
Yeah, then I hand out those new cards I got.
Hey, if you want to hear some more of this, tune in every Monday.
If you thought that was funny, wait till picture this time's an hour. So I did do that in the line, had a little zing there. And then we went into this auditorium. Now, it's a very artistic school.
Right.
And I said...
Kind of liberal, isn't it?
Kind, again, if you could think of one word, what word would you use to describe it?
I would think of liberal.
Liberal. Yeah. The gym looked like... Now, they have a new gym, but this gym hadn't been touched in about 40 years. I said that their athletic program, you know, how's the football team doing this year?
Right.
I don't think they're contending. It's not a lot of football players. This gym was out of the 1930s where they played. It was really cool, though.
Do they have a football team?
I know. The lockers, the bathrooms, to go to the bathrooms, you go through this old locker room. It was like a haunted house without meaning to. It was like people that used to be athletes used to go here 100 years ago.
Was there big, like, leather medicine balls on the gym floor?
It was. I felt like I was in the 1930s. That's the closest you get. And they played in this venue, which I thought was very cool for a concert.
Yeah.
Because it is so unique.
Were there guys with, like, long mustaches and red and white striped bathing suits lifting round barbells?
Like in fast motions? Remember those films? Yes. Always went really fast when you're watching those films.
Pushing against, like, a brick wall to, yes, like, make themselves stronger.
There was a lot of that on the periphery. So, but it was just a fantastic show. So these guys, man, it's so interesting. This guy, Robert Pollard, he was a fourth grade teacher. He's from Dayton. Was a fourth grade teacher. Kept writing songs. He's a prolific songwriter. Couldn't get picked up by any labels. Was about to give up. Finally gave it one more shot when he was maybe in his mid-30s. Got picked up by a label, and he took off. He's, in terms of the independent rock scene, they're one of the most known bands around the country. He's written literally thousands of songs. I mean, you can't say the
literally
word.
Thousands.
Literally thousands of songs. I mean, one person, and the songs are usually 2 to 3 minutes. They're relatively short songs. But during his show, as my brother-in-law said,
he's written thousands of 5-second songs.
Thousands of 10-second songs. Yeah. That's how he gets his numbers.
There's a raccoon running over it. The end. Right, that's another good one. Print but that.
My brother-in-law said now he gets really drunk in these shows, so it's really a spectacle. So sure enough, he was getting more and more drunk throughout the show to the point where...
Kind of like this show. Although not with you drinking the apple cider.
Not with me. But towards the end of the show, he was drinking just out of a tequila bottle. Midway through the show. Drinking straight out of a tequila bottle. And then passes it down to the crowd and says, everyone take a swig. And the tequila bottle went passed around through the crowd.
Wow.
Everyone's taking swigs. And then he was drinking beers after that and a cooler of beers. And then
now
he started.
Everyone there has herpes.
Yeah. I couldn't get far enough from that bottle of tequila, by the way. I felt dirty just being in the same room as that bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
Then he starts passing out bottles of beers. He goes, we got a cooler here with a ton of ice and a ton of beers. And starts passing out beers to the crowd. And a lot of these are college kids, so they're loving it.
Yeah.
But it was great, man. It was really heavy on the guitar, so it was hard to hear the words. But I really liked it. It was a great entertainment experience.
Cool.
I would say, yeah. And there's hundreds of songs I got to listen to now. There's so many, I don't know where to begin.
Well, you've been a big Guided by Voices supporter lately. You haven't been shutting up about them for the past few weeks.
Yeah, I know. And this will be it, I guess, for a while. But I wanted to get that last. But it was great. Great experience. Always up for something new. And that was something new and different. And I'm glad I went.
Well, go buy Guided by Voices from iTunes.
Yes, Robert.
Just like we did before this show, so we had something to play.
Robert Pollard, unbelievable.
Which I don't know if that's legal. By the way, if you're a band and you want us to play your song on our show, I mean, we will.
Yeah, we'll
We're always
do it.
Looking for, like, introductory music.
We want to launch, actually, a new... We'd love to launch a band. This could be a platform to launch a band.
Oh, you mean not us being in a band?
No, of course not.
Like, we're just going to be the launchers.
We're going to be the... Yeah, we're going to be the means for them
we're
to launch.
We're not going to do the work.
No, we're not.
A 45-minute weekly podcast is enough. We don't need any more.
But, yeah, any local Cleveland bands, give us your music. We'll play it. We'll literally play just about anything.
Even if you're not in Cleveland. You know, I'm not going to be biased. If you're in Argentina...
And
you
want
to send us like a link to, you know, your song? You get the idea. Anyway, so it's Monday, November 1st, and tomorrow is election day. Midterm elections. We don't normally get too political on the show because most of our audience is drunk when they listen.
Yes.
Drunk or driving or both.
Both.
Which we don't encourage at all.
No, no.
But if you're driving, some people listen. Some people, you know, don't listen live. Some people get the podcast Tuesday morning. So if you're driving into work Tuesday morning, oh, crap, I forgot today's voting day, November 2nd, Tuesday, November 2nd. It's not too late. The polls don't close to like 7:30.
You have plenty of time.
Plenty of time. So there's a lot of big, there are a lot of big elections going on. And I feel like, you know, with the midterm, like everyone gets excited about the presidential elections, but it's really the smaller races that, you know, you have a bigger chance of making a difference.
Yep.
Like they say there is, you know, that every vote counts. That's really not true in the bigger races. It's, but it's the small races where, you know, there's only, you're talking about a much smaller area that statistically your vote's going to be make a much bigger impact.
Yeah, I really felt like in my 2008, my vote really wasn't going to do much. Yeah. I was on one side, and the country seemed to be on another side. I'm not going to say which side that was.
Right, right.
But I did feel like in 2008, my vote probably was going to matter. And I don't feel like that this year. I feel like it really does matter.
Yeah, yeah. So a big, what do we got? We got Cuyahoga County. I mean, if you're in the Cleveland area, if you're in the county, I mean, Cuyahoga County, yeah. That's a kind of a big deal because we're getting rid of Crooky DeMora.
Yep.
I mean, he hasn't been convicted, but... Well, you know,
yeah, wait, I think you're guilty until presumed guilty until proven innocent. Is that how it goes?
On this podcast, yes. That's how it goes. Whatever Jeff and Jeremy think of you. So we're getting rid of that system, the 3-person system, and just doing 1 county executive, and that's one of the people we're voting for on Tuesday.
Yeah, a council member and a county executive you vote for. That's a new thing that just takes effect in this election. And then obviously the Crown Congress people, governor, and this leads me. I got a great email from a friend of mine who said, I don't agree with this, but in Ohio, you elect judges. And I think that's I guess, for another time. I think that's kind of an insane thing to do.
What do they do in other
places? They're appointed. There's, like, boards that are set up that get qualified candidates, and there's a commission set up with governors, elected officials, and advisory boards that then recommend qualified people to be judges. And I think that makes a lot more sense. And I have friends who are prosecutors who also agree with that, because there's a lot of people with Irish last names in Cleveland that run for judge and just get elected because of their last name.
Yeah, yeah, because that kind of goes to the whole idea of more of a representative democracy.
Right.
The idea being that, and that does just get into more controversy than maybe we want to get into, but is the standard Joe Sixpack on the street, the standard Joe Sixpack listening to this podcast right now, capable, or do they have, are they well-informed enough to know what judge to vote for? I don't know. I don't know every judge's history and you know, cases they've ruled on and what their standings are. I don't feel informed enough. So how can I inform myself more, Jeff?
So there's a website, and I printed this out. You can print out a 1-page little flyer here and bring it into the voting booth with you, which I did today. It's called judgeforyourself.com, and it's not a politically biased or motivated publication. It goes through 4 different independent associations: the Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association, a Cuyahoga Criminal Defense Association, another bar association, and Ohio Women's Bar Association, as well as a Plain Dealer in the Call and Post, and just gives their ratings for the judges that are in contested races. So it's just a great way to go in there and be a little more informed.
So if you see a judge that's like, everyone's like, no, no, no.
And that's
no,
how
no.
It is. And as I'm reading these things that are across the board, it's very clear in these races, one is very qualified, one is not.
Yeah.
So this to me was very helpful. I just really recommend it. It's not a political thing, really. It's more of a qualification thing.
Okay. That's judge4, judgeforyourself.com.
And that's on our website already.
Well, it's on our Facebook page, Jeff.
Our Facebook page.
Let's try to keep these things straight.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that. I'm not the technical guy.
I know.
Trust me. Yeah, I recommend that. So that's the judge thing. I voted today, and I always enjoy voting.
Now, how did you vote today?
I had a run-in with my local polling place. Like,
run-in?
Yeah. It didn't,
words exchange?
It just didn't go well. I tried. I wanted to vote in the primary, in a particular party's primary, and they told me we don't have ballots for that party. And it's one of the 2 big parties. I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. So I said, can I please see, you know, someone above you, your manager? This obviously isn't going to work for me. I was getting a little upset.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, sorry, sir, it was a mistake. I didn't really like that. And then they wondered when I left what happened to that ballot. So now I'm so paranoid. I vote at the Board of Elections. To make sure my vote is processed.
You go right to the source.
I go right to the source. It's paranoia driven, but that's what I did. So I'm going to be out of town tomorrow, so you can vote early, which is a great service they offer. I think 4 or 5 days before the election, you vote at the Board of Elections in person. So I did that today.
Why can't you vote on the internet yet?
That'll happen, I think, at some point. But it might be just a security issue of maintaining the integrity of the ballot, I would think.
Probably.
But I think at some point it's going to happen.
With all the banking stuff.
Well, this is still a Scantron form. I still think we should at least have individual kiosks with touchscreens at some point. I'm still doing Scantron ballots.
I mean, no offense to the people that are I guess, volunteering their time at the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections, but when I go to some of these polling places, I'm thinking, like, really? Really? This is really how we make our decisions, country? People physically have to come into these places, and just 5% of the population votes, and it seems like the same people that work at the DMV are working at the Cuyahoga County.
It's always an experience going there. I always enjoy it.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, really? This is our system? Really?
That's it.
Thank God for the shadow government that's really making all the calls for us.
But I would wait 4 hours in line to vote if I had to. I just think people take it for granted, and I really make an effort to be out there. It is so important.
I agree. I just feel that I feel that I have not, like, every time that I go there, I mean, you know, you're probably aware of, like, the big races. I mean, we got, you know, Ohio governor race going on. We have the Cuyahoga County
Senate, the U.S. Senate is a big
seat. Those type of things. But I feel as you kind of go more farther down the line, like, I see something, and I'm like, crap, I don't feel, like, prepared.
Yeah.
Like, if I see something on there, I mean, do you just pick one at random?
No, see, today I was really prepared. If you have this judge seat, that's half the battle with the judges. And then it's just your state rep, your state senator, and I generally vote party. You see the party affiliation, so you can go in there. I go in there pretty informed. I'm usually not taken off guard by anything when I go in there. But I also have another theory. I would like to run someday for office, and I really strongly believe in term limits. And I just think that a lot of the problems in Washington right now are because people are more concerned with getting reelected than making tough decisions that might not be popular in the short term back home, but are the right decisions to make. So I feel really strongly that I think hopefully in 10 years or so, if I've done well in business, I want to run and serve two or three terms and then get out. And I really think that's public service, is giving back and making a real effort to make the tough decisions, the right decisions, and then go back to private life. And I just think these career politicians, they're so obsessed with keeping the lifestyle, keeping the power, keeping the office, that it impedes the true meaning of what it means to be a politician and what it means to be elected.
You better hope none of these podcasts come out during when you're trying to run.
We'll be burning the tapes. They're all on actual physical tapes.
Physical tapes.
So we're going to burn all the tapes. None of this is going to be traced back. It'll be the Jeff and Bob show. We'll just, the Jeremy and Bob show. We'll just take off any Jeff. We'll be replaced with a Bob.
It's the early 80s. We actually just distribute this podcast by handing out
A-tracks
on the street.
A-tracks.
And friends make copies for their friends. And there's, like, some really bad, like, 10th generation copy where we sound all like the Smurfs or something like that.
Bulky A-tracks. So that's the election.
What did you see any good costumes besides yours?
A lot of Katy Perry's, which I thought were good.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, the trendy miners, Chilean miners. That was a big one.
I saw a lot of Chilean miners, yeah.
You know, nothing that other really jumped out at me is too crazy or unique.
And House of Blues, seven people were Shark Week. So they were sharks, and they each had a shirt that was, you know, a day of the week. So
that's great.
That was pretty creative. And then a bunch of people, too, were like Mortal Kombat characters, which I thought was a good group thing. Yeah. It was almost like if somebody, it was almost like if a couple planned on being Wendy and Ronald McDonald, and some other guy said he was going to be the Burger King, but at the last minute didn't be.
I can't imagine a scenario like that.
Yeah, Jeff.
Would that ruin it?
Jerk. hey, Cleveland Restaurant Week actually starts Cleveland Restaurant 2 weeks. Because it's November 1st through the 14th.
I didn't notice that, but it says Cleveland Restaurant Week, and then under it says 14 days.
Yeah, I know. It's like Cleveland Restaurant Weeks.
Weeks.
You know, they did this back in February, and there's a couple different groups behind it. Like, I think the one in February is more of a Cleveland.com, like Downtown Cleveland Alliance sponsored thing. Yeah, the February one was more Downtown Cleveland Alliance. It was specifically City of Cleveland Restaurant Week. This one is put on by Cleveland Independence. And it's more of suburbs as well. Same general idea where you have a 3-course meal for a $30 fixed price or prix fixe.
Yeah, I didn't
notice that. Is that a French thing?
It's definitely not American.
It means
which I frown on.
It means a $30 pre-established price. But anyway, if you can go to go to radioshowonline.com and click on our Facebook link. That's where we normally put all our links. We have a link to all the different menus, but you can, you know, click on there and you can see the preset menus. So Bistro 185, for example, is one of the restaurants there in Hudson, and the website shows, you know, your first course, your second course, and then a third course. So a lot of these places, you know, you can get a three-course meal for only $30, where normally it would probably cost you know, more than $30.
Yeah, that could be half.
Usually it ends up being just basically the equivalent of like a free appetizer or a free dessert, something like that, when you factor all that in. But even though it's not just City of Cleveland, it's nice that they are all independent restaurants. There's no Applebee's or TGI Fridays, you know, on here.
And I think we noted how in this article, it said one of the Cleveland's now, I think, biggest attractions to people coming to the city is the culinary scene.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's because of these independent restaurants. It's really becoming a big part of the city.
You know, they recently opened, Tri-C opened up their culinary school on Public Square in the old May Company building. And they're now doing a Cleveland Culinary Challenge, which is a fundraiser for hospitality education sponsored by Positively Cleveland. So you get to go there and try all these different foods, and there's going to be fancy bartenders and ice sculptures and pastry makers and all sorts of awesome stuff. It's a fundraiser, so it does end up being a little bit pricier. Tickets are $75 a pop. And that's happening this Wednesday, November 3rd, after work, 5:30 to 9. But that's kind of cool. You can go down there and check out the new space. I like how the front of it is like glass. And from the inside, there can be like a cooking demonstration. And you can kind of see that from sidewalk level. And I think it just adds a little bit more life to the street and to, you know, to Public Square.
Like the Today Show. When you walk by the Today Show, everyone's having a good time there.
Similar to the Today Show. Yeah, yeah, exactly, Jeff. Good analysis. Thanks, Jeff. You're going to be a great politician. but yeah, so that's happening Wednesday, November 3rd. Check out ClevelandCulinaryChallenge.com for more information on that. Does anyone else feel tired, by the way?
That's a bullet point in our agenda.
No, I mean, I've been noticing, like, I cannot get out of bed in the morning. And for, like, the past couple of weeks, I don't know if it's my new job, if I'm tired from that. I don't stay up that late. I mean, Jen gets up really early because she's a teacher, and she, like, has to be there at, like, 7 in the morning.
Are you getting enough iron in your diet?
Maybe not. I don't know what's wrong with me. I cannot. I mean, because my idea is, and last year at this time, I was able to do this. Like, I wanted to go to the gym before going to work.
Yeah, that's nuts, by the way. I don't get that.
Because then you can take one shower. Like, once I get home from work, I came home from work and I drank vodka as soon as I walk in the door. Some vodka and cranberry, and then I had two, and then I come here.
It's very madman of you.
Pumpkin. I know. Well, I am in the advertising industry.
You are.
I'm trying to bring the 60s back.
In your office, do you have a little table with bourbon and scotch?
We should. I think that's going to be in some of the new floors.
Anytime you get any sort of good or bad news, you pour a drink.
That's right. Again, alcohol is good for celebratory reasons or for mourning. and by mourning, I mean mourning.
Yes.
And
mourn. Yes, both.
Wow. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're feeling
anyway,
tired.
So I'm tired and I'm drinking. So I think going to the gym in the early morning hours is good because then I can just get out of bed, go to the gym, work out, take the shower, go to work.
Yeah.
Now, you don't agree?
It's a shower-based decision then.
Yeah, and it's just – and I'm distracted. Like when I come home from work, I'm like tired.
I struggle getting up anyway. I would not be able to get up early for any reason.
Well, I can't now. So when do you work out?
Yes, I do. I just did today. I do it two or three nights a week. And morning's not an option for me, so I don't even consider it. I have no other choice but to work out at night because I know I can't get up early.
Do you work out here or do you go somewhere?
Oh, Cleveland State.
Okay.
Cleveland State, yeah.
So you're not enrolled at Cleveland State.
No, but I went there and I think anyone can actually join there now. One time it was just alumni, but I think
you just run in. If you run really quick, they don't know.
Yeah, you distract them. I have smoke bombs every time I go in.
I just walk in backwards and they can't figure it out.
I just have my iPhone on, like I'm listening to a great song.
And then you just nod
and just keep walking.
And there's like, excuse me, sir, and then they're like, I'm a security guard. I don't want to get up from my desk. I'm listening to Raider Show with Jeff and Jeremy on my iPod. I don't wanna leave.
But it just fits my lifestyle. I like to be up late at night. I hate being up in the morning. So
I do.
But now I feel good. Like I worked out after work. I feel great. I want to like do the show. I feel
that's
better.
Why you
than
were
the
late
evenings.
For our show prep today.
It was.
You were working out.
Yes.
Well, see, that's why I don't, because I'm dedicated to things.
And
like
I have
show.
Energy. So it's like a cycle. I feel great.
And I'm the one drinking.
And now you're drinking and you're tired. I'm drinking cider and I feel great.
I think I have a problem.
I'm popping vitamins.
Someone on Facebook was saying it might be like seasonal activity. What do they call that?
Yeah, with the level of
seasonal effectiveness disorder.
With the sun level of sunlight.
Yes, yeah. And daylight savings time is going to end soon, so yeah. that make it worse for
me. It won't be good. It's not going to be good for you. We may have to put you away for a little while.
I need one of those
Maybe
lights.
Maybe we'll send you off somewhere.
I need one of those lights that mimic the sun's natural spectrum, like a mood light.
What if you tried going to sleep with like the natural outdoor wilderness sounds?
Do you have some natural wilderness?
No, but I've heard that's supposed to work.
I normally go to sleep in the city. I mean, that's, you know, come on. I'm the urban guy.
You are the urban guy.
I get to hear the ships come down the Cuyahoga River at like.
By the way, do you
notice
like a train or a ship will occasionally do the noise.
Occasionally?
Well, I don't hear it as much as you then, but I'll hear it like every randomly once a week at like 2 in the morning.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I don't hear it very often.
Because we have like 20 bridges down the Cuyahoga River. That's why they honk so the bridge will go up. That's all I hear.
Well, I'm a little bit more removed from that then. I hear it once a week and I can deal with it, but that'd be horrible more than that.
It's right outside. I mean, sometimes it's really loud. Sometimes.
Yeah. Like it shakes, things shake almost.
They're getting a little out of control.
Yeah.
Sometimes my condo is shaking more than normal.
Come to Tremont.
All right, what else is going on? Are we ready for our favorite news segment that we didn't get to last week?
Jeremy, there's some music we got to penetrate this music.
Bow wow. What's, we need some music penetration music.
This is a Jeff and Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy exclusive segment, Music Penetration, where we break down some of the hottest songs on the radio for you, our listeners, and we go behind the lyrics to try and explain what message the song is trying to tell you.
Yes.
Music penetration.
Music penetration.
You ready for this one? Now, I know you love this song.
What are we doing? Are you reading? Or am I?
Well,
reading?
We're going to put it in the middle. We're going to go back and forth.
We didn't rehearse this.
We didn't rehearse it.
You were working out.
Now, I know you love sleeping and drinking. The band Far East Movement.
Far East Movement.
I know you love Like a G6. That's one of my favorite songs.
Is that like the G8?
Well, we're going to get into that, Jeremy. So I know when I, you know, my iPod, Leica G6, was downloaded immediately. I heard it on the radio. I said, I need this in my life.
That's all my iPod has is a subscription to Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, which you can get at radioshowonline.com. You can subscribe. And this song.
Actually, I bought an iPod for just the Far East Movement. Uh-huh. It's my Far East Movement. It's hard to write it on there. So here's the lyrics. Let's get into this. Now, it starts off very excitingly, Jeremy. They get right into it. Far East Movement gets right into it. Popping bottles in the ice like a blizzard. So I get that. And that was like me at this concert.
I don't get that at all.
Oh, they're popping bottles in like a cooler of ice, I'm assuming.
What does popping bottles mean?
Well, they're putting them in there with vigor.
Oh, that means they're putting a bottle into
They're getting ready for a barbecue, a nice quiet barbecue, and they're putting beer bottles in a cooler of ice.
Okay.
Okay, so popping bottles in the ice like a blizzard. You know, blizzards have a lot of ice and it's cold.
Like the Dairy Queen treat?
Well, I'm thinking more of like the weather phenomenon, too.
I thought you meant the Oreo. No.
When we drink, we do it right. Getting slizzard. Now, yeah. I know when I drink too, sometimes I'm like, do I want to get slizzard tonight or do I just want to have a couple beers? Like, I got slizzard at the Halloween party. I'm not proud of that.
I did. And then I laid off yesterday and then it was one of those things where I said I'm not going to drink. But tonight I feel like kind of getting slizzard. I'm kind of slizzard right now.
Yeah, you're on the road to slizzarddom.
Yep.
And then next is sipping scissor up in my ride like 3-6.
What's he sipping?
I don't know what any of that means.
Sipping, this print is too small. Slipping scissorp in my ride, like 3-6.
You want to take that one?
I think he's drinking. Again, that's why I think he's maybe
I think he's drinking
about,
and driving now.
I think he's maybe talking about like a Slurpee or a slushie
no,
that he's adding
Jeremy,
some syrup to.
I think he's getting slizzard. I think the scissorp is going to eventually get him slizzard.
All right, well, like 3-6, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Boy, this one's a complex one.
Now I'm feeling so fly like a G6. Now, it's either a Pontiac G6 sedan or the Gulfstream Jet G6. I figured that out.
One of the two. You don't think it's the G8 World Trade Conference?
I don't think it's anything with it. I don't think these guys are talking about anything with World Trade.
Okay.
I think it's the... Is it the... Because he says his ride could be the Pontiac G6, but let's assume, because he says feeling so fly like a G6, it's the Gulfstream Jet.
Okay.
The
G6. We'll take that.
That's a $60 million jet for our listeners. Like a G6, like a G6. Now he's feeling so fly like a G6. Okay, so he's feeling really good drinking and driving, which I think is a horrible message.
But he's flying, drinking and flying?
Well, he feels like he's flying
but
because
he's, really
he's so slizzard.
See, that's the thing.
He's on the way to slizzardom.
If you're driving, you shouldn't be thinking like you're flying.
No, so I hate this message that it's sending, by the way.
Flying is a lot different than driving.
Next verse, give me that Moet. No, I think Moet is...
That's a type of champagne.
Okay. Give me that Cristal. I know that
you normally stick with, that's also champagne.
Okay, so now is he moving from, maybe it was popping bottles. It was always champagne the whole time, I guess.
Are you a champagne drinker?
No, you know what? I got very ill at my cousin's wedding. Quick story, aside from music penetration. He had the great idea of saying, hey, I'll bring 9 bottles of champagne to my other cousin's wedding, and let's just go out on the porch, and we don't have to wait at the bar. We can hang out. It was a nice night. So I end up drinking champagne all night at this reception, which, you've ever done that? It's a horrible idea.
No, I have not.
My tux was ruined. Mm. I got violently ill on the way home, all over my tux, all because of champagne. So since then, I really shy away from it.
Maybe it was bad champagne. Maybe we should
try. I think it's because I had 20 glasses of it.
Okay, that could do it too.
So I really shied away.
Back to music penetration.
Ladies love my style, at my table getting wild. Is he at his kitchen table?
Probably.
Dining room? Is he at a blackjack table?
Maybe he's, maybe it's in the G6?
Is there a table in the, in the jet there's a little table.
Yes, but he's not in a jet.
Well, he feels like he's in a jet. Is there a table in the car?
He also feels like there's a table there.
Okay, I mean, he's hallucinating. This is getting weird.
And the ladies are getting wild at this table. He's not getting wild, I don't think.
The ladies love his style at his table at getting wild. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of in his perspective. Good. In the Far East Movement's perspective. Uh-huh. Get them bottles popping. We get that drip and that drop.
See, drip, I think that's like an STD.
It doesn't sound good. If someone tells you you've got drip and drop, like drip? I'm going to say, I'm going to get another blood test.
Like you've got the drip and the drop.
Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, man, that was a bad decision.
I think I've heard that on the street.
Okay.
I think when I was getting accosted, I think they're saying something about drip.
So if you get slizzard, it could end up being you not only get slizzard, you get drip and drop.
Right, which kind of makes sense. I think it's
that more, part makes sense.
I think it's more from the ladies loving the style and at the table getting wild. I think that caused the drip and drop.
Okay, so in the last line is
preceding line.
Now give me 2 more bottles. Because you know it don't stop. And I get that. I mean, when you're having fun, you don't want to stop.
2 more bottles of Momo.
Or Cristal.
And Cristal.
So that was like me Saturday night. This is the only way I can relate to the song. Mm-hmm. At the treehouse, I was ready. I wanted more bottles.
You said you were going to get a date, and then we were going to double date.
Yes, we're doing that.
Did that happen?
We only have 2 minutes, so we'll talk about that off the air. Hell yeah, drink it up. Okay, I get that. They're, again, feeling good. When sober girls are around me, they be acting like they drunk. So this is disturbing to me.
This is interesting.
Because they're clearly sober.
Yeah.
Do you think they were...
So they're acting like they're drunk?
So they're drinking soft drinks? Could he have messed with their soft drinks? I hate to play the roofie card again.
You know, one time I was watching 2020, and they did this study where they gave people non-alcoholic beer, and they told them it was beer, and they actually started exhibiting symptoms like if they were intoxicated.
So you think this is some sort of psychological experiment on the part of Far East Movement?
Maybe. But maybe they just didn't want to give them the alcoholic drinks because, you know, stuff costs money.
That's true. So he says they be acting like they drunk when sober girls are around me, meaning him, acting like they drunk.
Yeah.
Okay, so I get that. Then that makes sense. So he's doing this experiment.
They're trying to show off.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They're saying, hey, look, I want to hang out with you and your G6.
Look at how drunk I am.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable.
Look
what a night.
What I just dropped, yeah.
So then he goes back to popping bottles in the ice like a blizzard. And unfortunately, we're close to time. Does this wrap up?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Girl, I keep it gangsta. Popping bottles at the crib. So now I pop bottles at my crib. Like, am I a gangster?
I don't think that that's what causes... I think gangsters do that, but I don't think doing that makes you a gangster.
What are you saying about me?
I'm saying that you don't have a lot of street cred, Jeff.
Yet. Not until I've done those songs. This is how we live every single night. That's a tough lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing that, if you're popping bottles in the ice, getting slizzard every night.
I remember when I used to get slizzard every night, and you can't keep it up.
I feel like you're on that track.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah. Maybe you should listen to the song.
I'm sleeping and I'm drinking pumpkin. I don't think the gangsters are drinking pumpkin ale.
Yeah, they're definitely not. That's where the roads separate.
Sounds a little too cutesy.
That's where the branch in the road starts.
I'm going to be like, hey, guys, some pumpkin.
Yeah.
You can listen to a radio show with Jeff and Jeremy every Monday night at 7:30 Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Daylight savings time is coming up this weekend, or it ends this weekend.
Aren't they stretching it out so that eventually they might phase it out? Have you heard that? They might do stop it altogether, the fall back, spring forward. That's out there is a discussion, I know.
Who decides? The shadow government decides these things?
Blogs.
Yeah, it's all bloggers.
They control the world.
They pull the bloggers. check out radioshowonline.com. You can subscribe to our podcast. I don't know why, but you can. You can subscribe to our podcast and automatically have iTunes download the podcast every time there's a new one. What gets better than that? Nothing. Very little.
Nothing.
Now you're a man of few words. All right, we're wrapping it up. It's 8:15, Monday night, November 1st. Thanks for listening to Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. This is Jeremy.
And this is Jeff.
Good night, everyone.
See ya.